Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Contending for Truth Radio and Parental Sovereignty Radio. We are going to have quite the show tonight, let me tell you. The last 3 or 4 weeks, there's been a lot of stories in the news that directly relate to what we're talking about. And I would like to divide them up between two different things. Number one, we've got a bunch of issues that have been going on. You know, we've got Jared Markham, young man, eighth grade, 14 years old. School district, school, weak leadership, couldn't handle the problem in-house, so they had a young man arrested and given an arrest record because they didn't like the T-shirt that he wore. We've got a really crazy situation here in California right now. We got a young family, 5-month-old baby. Baby's got health conditions, they got health problems, and they had the baby at the doctor's office, and there was some confusion as to exactly what the treatment should be, and basically what happened was the parents decided, no, we don't like the way this is going, we want a second opinion. They took the baby out of the hospital, and they took it to Kaiser, and then a little later, the police showed up at their home and just walked off with their child. CPS in California, you just really, really messed it up. Because now Assemblyman Tim Donnelly's on it. And we're going to give him all the support we can. We're going to fight right back on this because CPS, you're out of line. And there's some other stories that we're going to look at. And you know, they are all a approach to erode parental sovereignty. And then we've got the big monster in the room, Common Core. And Common Core is designed to institutionalize some of these concepts. The design behind Common Core, they will tell you, is to give everybody the same curriculum so that everybody's learning the exact same thing. And you can make some pros or cons for that. I would disagree that that's a good way of approach, an all for everybody approach. That doesn't ever really work right. Well, but that's what they tell you it's for. What it's really designed to do is to teach a specific worldview. And that worldview just happens to match up with some of these other things. Melissa Perry on MSNBC, she stated it correctly. She stated their worldview. They don't believe that your children are yours. They believe that your children belong to us. And therefore, that the parents, they don't have the ability to control what goes on with parental sovereignty. It's a fight for our lives, folks. And it's a fight that has gone on many times before. We're not new to this fight, at all new to this fight. The world's gone through this fight over and over again. Adolf Hitler did the exact same thing. He made it very, very clear that in order to win, he had to gain the control of the minds of the nation's youth. Parental sovereignty, folks. It's the right of the parent to make the decisions on how they raise their children. I don't want the government to come in and tell a parent that they have to teach that homosexuality is right, and I don't want them to come in and tell the parent that they have to teach it's wrong. I want the parent to make that decision. I don't want the government coming in and telling a parent that they have to support the Second Amendment rights or not support the Second Amendment rights. That's their freedom to choose, and that's their freedom to teach their child. Now, I have a specific set of worldview, I think it's right. I think it's correct. It's based on some basics. It's based on some principles. However, I don't want the government coming in and teaching my principles. A woman said it very correctly earlier this week in a blog that was done. I don't care if Common Core taught the Ten Commandments. I still don't want it. I don't trust it. Parental sovereignty is being eroded, folks, and it's been being eroded for a long time. This is nothing new. I've been saying for two decades we need to really, really focus on what they're doing in the schools. A couple of years back, my young niece took her lunch to school, and she came home and explained that they had lined up the students to go out to lunch based on the healthiness of what was in their sack. And folks, that, you know, that sounds kind of innocent on the edge, but it's really, it's not, it's evil. I don't have a problem saying that. It's evil, because what it's doing is it's the school system. It's the school saying to the child, your mommy and daddy didn't pack a lunch that was right. Your mommy and daddy packed a lunch that wasn't healthy for you, so you have to go to the back of the line. Oh, insanity. We're getting ready here in the little town of Springville to spring Common Core. And boy, that's going to be one of the things that's going to be brought up. I guarantee you that. So tonight we're going to discuss these issues. We've got Jennifer Montrose from Alabama, great patriot, co-host. We got Stacey Tubbush from Alabama, great friend, great patriot. And then we have tonight also Dan McMahon. And he is our new co-host. He was supposed to be here about last week. We had some blog talk issues last week, but I believe he's going to be here tonight. And the four of us are going to roundtable discussion. We're going to discuss some of these issues, and we're going to bring them back and forth. You see, they all go together. It all works together. That's wonderful. What the reason why we call this Parental Sovereignty Radio, because there's different aspects in this, you see. Another article that came up this morning was a teacher. When a student was writing on his desk, instead of handling it as teachers have handled that issue, I used to write on the desk. I'm sure, Dan, at one point, we were boys, so, you know, boys tend to do stuff like that. Sometimes the girls do. But the teacher chose to use as a method of correcting this problem to make the child lick the desk and lick it clean. That happened in February, and the parents went to the school, and they said, listen, what's going on? And basically the school, and Dr. Brown, I'm going to tell you this right now. We're working on an email for you. I did send a note to you, email real quick, that you might want to listen to the show, because I got a few words for you, and I'll talk about those later. But you're weak, man. And you don't want any parental involvement. 2 months later, they're still dealing with this, and they can't even get an apology out of the teacher. Because the school has got, you know, and we use this on the Don Miller show, I use it a lot. Judge Madden in Hurley, Wisconsin, used to be a big fish in a little pond. But now the whole country knows about the Don Miller story, so he's become a little fish in a big pond. The same thing to some of these teachers, some of these superintendents. You think you're a big fish in a little pond, but you're not. You're becoming very, very quickly a little fish in a big pond. You see, what happened today was a wonderful thing. And I don't always agree with the headlines and the way that Matt Drudge does his headlines. They're sometimes, you know, a little bit deceiving. But there's 33 million people a day look at that website. And your little story there, Dr. Brown, ended up on Drudge today. So your statement that you really don't want this to go any further, kind of out the door, because a lot of people know about it now. And I'm sure, since it came out later this afternoon, tomorrow he's going to have a really, really rough day. So that's what our show is going to be about tonight. I am going to go in and make sure we've got everybody off of hold. And it looks like we've got everybody off of hold. And the first thing we want to do on our agenda tonight is introduce Dan and let him tell a little bit about himself. We want to welcome you, Dan. You're going to be a great part of this show. It'll help me balance out a little bit. You know, you feel kind of lonely being the only guy and a bunch of ladies. Well, we've got another guy now. And it's important because, you see, we've got issues all over the country, and Dan is an activist. Jennifer is an activist. Stacey is an activist. I am an activist. We are going to be activists together as we continue on this show. Dan, welcome to Parental Sovereignty Radio, our newest co-host. And just I'm going to hand it to you, tell a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go back and start our issues.
Thank you, Scott. Yeah, my name is Daniel McMahon. I'm from Florida. And yes, I am an activist. I mostly work on issues regarding the Second Amendment, but I work on other issues too as well. I would call myself a conservative libertarian. That would be the best way to describe my political views. And if you wanted a template for what I believe, I would say Rand Paul is closest to my political beliefs. And I realize that the country is going in a very wrong direction. Some people complained about the Bush era, but I think the Obama era is so much worse. And I didn't agree with either of them, to be precise. But the way this country is going, it's going away from the views that the Founding Fathers intended, and it is actually going closer to socialism, and it's ridiculous. And what you said about the teachers is true. We've now got the teachers union running our schools, the very corrupt teachers union. Unions have always been corrupt. They've been known to hire mob gangsters in the past, especially in New York, where the incident where that kid was forced to lick a desk clean. It's stuff like that that angers me, and this is why I come here to fight Common Core, because there's going to be more incidences of that if Common Core is made into law and part of our school system. We have to get rid of it, and we have to get rid of it now. Everybody has to fight. We all have to join forces and fight against it. We've got to get the news out about these incidents, like where they're punishing people for wearing shirts that don't even violate the school dress code policy, forcing kids to lick a desk full of toxic ink and bacteria and viruses, risking their health. It's absolutely disgusting, and that actually did anger me when I saw it. That's child abuse. There's no other word. And the superintendents of the school are doing nothing about it because they're both in the same union and they protect each other. And it's so hard to fire these people. It's so hard to fire them because of these unions. And they run the government, especially in New York where this happened. And I've dealt with New York politics before. I know how corrupt it is. If I had to say which is the most corrupt state, as far as political corruption in the union, it would be New York. Illinois would be second.
That's right. And it is. It is child abuse. And it's going to – we're going to pursue it that way because they aren't. They're in that teacher and that superintendent, they are in the same union, and they're not doing anything about it. And all the parents are really asking for is a direct apology. That's really basically all they're asking for, and they refuse to even do that. Well, that's okay then. Then you know, child abuse is child abuse. And if a parent got caught doing that, oh, my goodness. And we'll get back to that because we're going to go first to the California story here in a minute, and then we'll work our way through. But I want to bring in Jennifer and then Stacy for your opening remarks. Jennifer Montrose, Alabama, how are you doing? It's been a long time no see. I think I just got off a conference call with you.
Well, you know, maybe it's not all lost. My son did tell me the other day that he was having to learn the preamble in school the other day. So it's in elementary school where they're starting to slowly filter in Common Core. So we've got God on our side, and I just, you know, we have to keep up the fight. I have to be encouraged and not be totally, you know, I just got to realize that there are those of us that are out there fighting on the front lines for our future generation, you know. So and one of the things I think that has been really key to me and very helpful is I recognize that not everybody understands what it is that they're supporting. When they come in and they fight Common Core, they're only as educated as what they've been taught. And the people that are teaching them have an ulterior motive. And so it's up to us as parents to get out there and to educate. We've got to. And I think once people start getting it internally, then it hits them at home, then they'll begin to see. You know, when these stories like this come out, I'm just like appalled. The things that, I mean, a child who is being a boy, you know, how many times in your lifetime, Scott, when you were young, did you play cops and robbers? You know, so taking a pencil, you know, and playing, you know, pretending that it's a gun, you know, these are kids. And they're only mimicking what they see on TV, what they read in books and stuff. And, you know, and it's like you're taking away a child's freedom to think for themselves, to be free thinkers, to be creative, you know, and you got to give children an opportunity to, you know, if you do the thinking for them, they're never going to learn, you know. And my son wants to know, today he was talking to me about sex education, you know, and they're saying that if you have sex as a young child, if you have sex, that you can get AIDS and HIV. And I said, that's not all there is to it, son. I said, it's about being responsible and wearing protection. And if you are going to choose, it's not the fact that, I mean, I'm not wanting to teach my son that sex is bad, that it's evil. Because between, you know, when a man and a woman is married and under the eyes of God, in my opinion, you know, I think it's a very beautiful thing. You know, so it's, I'm just really concerned about what, you know, what should be my responsibility. You know, we've got parents that are working two jobs, single mothers that are working two jobs, and they're relying on the school, you know, to do the right thing by their children. And this kind of stuff is just, it's horrible. It's horrific to me. How can we turn a blind eye to this? Why is there not more outrage? Well, because, you know, the media doesn't want to talk about it. And you know, the things that are happening now that can scar kids for the rest of their lives. And they're just being children, you know. And it's my responsibility to discipline my child. You know, things are just so much different now than what they were when I grew up. Schoolhouse Rock, you know, learning. I was teaching my son the song that we learned as a kid watching Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday mornings on how to memorize the preamble. And, you know, you don't hear that stuff anymore, you know. But fortunately, in the classroom that he attends, they do pledge allegiance to the flag. And I'm really thankful to that. You know, I bought him a book recently on the making of America And I want him to understand the blood, sweat, and tears that our forefathers fought for to write the Constitution and to make it law and to bring it to life. You know, because if we're left to allowing our current school administration and Common Core to teach that to our children, it's going to be so far off base and so far not true. I mean, you know, so we've got to do something. Stacey?
Hey there. Happy Tuesday. Jennifer, I always follow up when saying what Jennifer said, but that's like she and I think on the same level, so I'm going to just keep going with that. Jennifer was talking about the Pledge of Allegiance, and I don't know if I've told you guys that that's how I kind of got my whole start in fighting this Common Core thing was, finding out that my daughter's not saying the pledge in school anymore. Well, I was told by a superintendent that they are saying the pledge and have been told by her that they're not saying the pledge. Anyhow, last week I had to take her to the nurse's office to get approved to go back to class after a false life deal. Anyway, I'm sitting in the nurse's office and the morning announcements come on. When I was in school, we had the morning announcements, the pledge, and a moment of silence. Well, in my child's school, they've got like a 60-second motivational quote of the day. And it was the creepiest thing I've ever heard. But I was like, okay, well, shortly after this motivational quote of the day about being good stewards and blah, 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 they're going to say the pledge. And then they didn't. And I stopped and I was like, looking at the nurse thinking, am I going to go here today? And of course I did. And I said, so y'all are just not going to say the pledge anymore? And she looked at me and I said, isn't this the time of the day that you would normally say the pledge? And she just shook her head and looked down. And the nurse looked up at me and she goes, it's really, really sad what is happening to our country and in our schools. And that's pretty much where it ended. And it broke my heart. I mean, it was... This fight is so hard for us because there's so few of us, and then you are in school and in the heat of it and realize that these people who see it every day almost feel like they have no voice, and their faces are just sad about it. And it's because, like Dan said, of the unions. The unions are running the school, and I think of the teachers and the nurses and the school aides and everybody are afraid to speak out because it's not politically correct to do so. And so while I'm encouraged that people are there and realize it's wrong, I'm disheartened in knowing that they don't feel like they could speak out when their voices could help us so much.
You know, and that's so true. And you know, it's, when you said that, Stacey, when she, you said that her she looked down, she was ashamed. She's a part of that system, and she was ashamed. And she needs to not look down. She needs to look up. And that's what this is all about. You know, you, Stacey and Jennifer, you guys have got a person down there that I have got a huge amount of respect for. And his name is John Fisher, in the John Fisher Show. And, you know, he says a lot. The problem with the left is they try and sanitize everything. And that's what we're talking about. See, the Pledge of Allegiance, it offends one or two people. Or a prayer, you know, five students complained and they pulled a prayer out of a graduation the other day because they're so afraid you might offend a couple of people. Well, what about all the Christians that offended by taking it out? They try and sanitize everything. That's why they don't want they don't want little kids using their fingers to pretend it's a gun because they're so afraid that there's going to be a shooting in the school. They think if they sanitize everything, they're going to get rid of everything, and they're not. That's why we have the problems with the Second Amendment issues we're having today because there's a side of the group, there's a side of politics that believes that if you take away all the guns away from the good people, then you're going to sanitize the situation and no more are you ever going to have school shootings? Our president has even said that, basically, that we got to eliminate this problem. We've got to eliminate that problem. You're never going to eliminate the problems in society. And I want to take, and I want to, bouncing off of that, I want us to turn first to the first discussion to what's going on here in California. This is horrendous, folks. This is horrendous. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the article. And you know, I do have to say that I am really, really, really falling in love with some people that are out there that are really fighting this fight. And I'm going to tell you, I have a real hard time in California because we've got a lot of candidates. We got a lot of Republicans out here that aren't worth they're not worth anything as a candidate. We've seen a lot of them. But I'm going to tell you, Tim Donnelly, one of our assemblymen, is really, really, really starting to impress me because he's willing to get up and fight. And I'm going to read this article. I don't have the article open of exactly what happened, but it tells you enough. A California lawmaker is now calling for a full audit of the state's Child Protective Services after the agency helped police take a five-month-old baby from his parents. As Megyn Kelly reported throughout the week, police ripped little Sammy from his home after his parents, Anna and Alex, told the hospital that was treating him that they wanted a second opinion on his condition. Now, there is video, and if you go look it up, just Google Child Protective Services take baby away from parents, and you'll find it. But the video captured police, along with a social worker, in their home. One officer can be heard telling Anna, "I'm going to grab your baby and don't resist, okay? Don't fight me." Joe Weinberger is their attorney. He joined America Live Friday and said this happens all too often. CPS oversteps its bounds, tries to protect its image more than the people they're charged with the care and custody of. Tim Donnelly is the California Assemblyman behind the push for an audit of Child Protective Services, and I'm going to be standing behind Assemblyman Donnelly every step of the way. They need to not only be audited, they need to be gutted because they're not helping. Now, I'm a firm believer, man. I got my three nieces, and if anybody ever abused them, I would be, it would not be very, very nice. It would not be pretty. And I want there to be some protections. But America, the federal government cannot micromanage. The state government cannot micromanage. Those situations need to be handled at the county level. If there is abuse in the home, the sheriff's department is fully qualified to handle it. You don't have to have Child Protective Services come all the way from Sacramento to deal with this situation. Because I guarantee you, the higher up the ladder you get to the federal government, you get to the state government, you got waste, fraud, and abuse. It's craziness. CPS should be dismantled. We've got child abuses rampant right now, and CPS is all over the place. So obviously, CPS, you are not doing a good job. Not doing a good job. But basically what they did was they went in because this parent decided to make a decision about the health care of their child and walk away. And so the doctor calls CPS, and CPS, without investigating, just turns around, grabs the police, goes in, takes the child out of the home. That is child abuse, CPS. That is child abuse, CPS. That is child abuse, and you are going to be called out on it. Fortunately, the child is only 5 months old and won't remember this. But what if it was a 10-year-old child? What if it was an 11-year-old child? Could scar them for life. Being ripped out of their loving home. CPS, it's called child abuse. CPS, it's called child abuse. CPS, it's called child abuse. When you make a child lick a desk, it's called child abuse. When you put a child like Jared Markham, you take him and you have him arrested because you don't like the shirt that he's got on and give him a police record at 14 years old, that is child abuse. That is child abuse. That is child abuse. Have I made myself clear? It's insanity, folks. And it's parental sovereignty. It is the government walking in each situation and making a decision about something they have no clue as to what's going on. And the problem with this, and where I'm going to take you in a circle here, because these things all go together. I have a real hard time in some of my groups. And some of my common core groups, because people want to just focus on common core. You can't. It is a weaved net. It has to do with the IRS. It has to do with CPS. It has to do with health care. It has to do with the schools. You see, because when you take the child to the doctor, they give you a little slip to take back to the school to let them know that you've taken the child to the doctor. The school has no business with whether I take my child to the doctor or not. The school has no business involved in that. And the IRS is going to be involved. Child Protective Services is going to be involved. The government wants to know everything you're doing with your children. They don't need to. We built this great nation. We built it without all that nonsense. We can't sanitize every problem. Yeah, when kids are abused, there's no bigger heart than mine. No bigger heart than mine, and I don't like that. And I fully, if a kid's being beat, I think the parent needs to be taken out of the home and put in jail. And I think you need to find the best way to deal with the child. Hopefully, it involves the family. And I know that sometimes you can, and I know there's extreme circumstances that don't work that way, but we're not talking about extreme circumstances. We're talking about stuff that's not even close to being extreme that's being trying to be handled. The IRS, our new forms are going to start asking you about your health, how you feel, what your health situation is, the schools, the data mining. They want to know all kinds of things of what's going on in the home. They're asking your children, what do they eat? Do you have guns in the home? Common Core and the Second Amendment rights are directly chained together, and you cannot get out of it. Common Core and Obamacare are directly chained, and you cannot get out of it. And for this to go on in California, for a five-month-old child to be taken away from good, loving parents, because they wanted a second opinion, because they weren't happy with the doctor, and for it to be able to get to the point where CPS and the police walk into your home and take your child, that is insanity, that is child abuse. I'm going to pass it to you, Dan, before I get too angry. what say you, Dan?
Tell us how you really feel, Scott. Well, to be honest, there was absolutely no reason Child Protective Services should have been involved. There was no reason the kids should have been taken away, no reason at all. All the parents were doing was making sure their kid had the best medical care, and there's nothing wrong with getting a second medical opinion because doctors are human and they make mistakes, and if they feel that their child is not being cared for correctly, then they absolutely have a right to take their child out of that hospital and go to another one who will take care of their child correctly. So I have no idea why CPS was involved at all. I think it had something to do with that hospital. But it's absolutely terrible. You're going to see more and more of these incidents in Obamacare, and that's just an undeniable fact, and it's terrible. Because the government is going to be more involved in health care than ever. It already is because of this. We should never see parents have their kids taken away for absolutely no reason at all other than getting their kids proper health care. They should get a reward for doing that, a reward for being a great parent, caring about their kids' health. I mean, the baby had a heart murmur. That is a cause for concern. But instead of giving the kid proper medical care, they took him away. And even though the kid is 5 months old, unfortunately, Scott, I have to disagree with you that he will remember this because it's already a famous issue. It's already all over the internet. And it will remain there. It will remain as a black mark in history. And unfortunately, that poor kid and those poor parents had to be involved in this. With Common Core, Common Core is a buzzword. It is just another word for liberal government indoctrination of our schools. And what I've seen is that the government likes to use a lot of buzzwords. Instead of gun control, it's gun safety. Instead of a modern sporting rifle or semi-automatic rifle, it's an assault weapon. We need to know these words. We need to be able to recognize them and call the government out on it. And that's what this is. This is only going to make the corrupt teachers union stronger with their anti-Second Amendment, anti-God messages. They're teaching everyone to be the same. And they're teaching that individuality is bad and child abuse is okay, just like with the incident in New York where they forced a kid to lick a desk clean. If I were the teacher, I would have handed the kid some cleaner and a wiper. I would have not forced them to lick a desk. That's absolutely disgusting and unsanitary, and it angers me that it even happened. It doesn't teach responsibility. It teaches that child abuse is okay because we see teachers as role models. And if this keeps up, no. I think parents should start homeschooling after hearing about this. The Second Amendment is taught in history classes in schools. Then they're going around saying, oh, but this is bad. Gun ownership is bad. Guns kill people. I know for a fact the Constitution is taught. Now, here's something they don't teach in school, and that's they didn't teach me about executive order. They taught me about the balance of power, the legislative, judicial, and executive branch. But they did not say anything about executive order. They're not teaching everything, and I feel that I've learned more off the Internet than I have from school. It seems they're all about authority there and not about education. And they need to do more to protect their kids. CPS should have been involved in that incident where a student was forced to lick a germ-filled desk, not when the parents were giving their child proper health care. So, yes, the government has it backwards. It's disgusting, and Common Core needs to go. And CPS needs to be audited. And I thank Tom Donnelly for considering this issue because it is a concern and everybody should know what's going on about this.
It is, and we're going to give him all the support we can because once you open up something like this, we're going to see a lot, I am sure. If we can get an audit of CPS, we're going to see a lot of absolute insanity going on. And not that it'll help in California because we've got a lot of crazy people out here, but it just needs to be done. Jennifer, what say you? I have a funny feeling Jennifer's on mute with Seth. We'll pass it on to Stacey and then come back to Jennifer.
Okay. Hey, I share your anger, Scott, and the whole it's none of the government's business, none of the government's business. When I was in high school, they started sending home those surveys about what language do you speak in your home and what language, you know which ones I'm talking about, and you were required to turn it in at the beginning of the year and blah, 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 and my dad infamously wrote in, we speak American, and she speaks this, and she just gave absurd answers to the point where they thought that I had forged it and called everybody up to the office. And my dad told them, it's none of your business. And about a month ago or so, my children were sent home with nutritional surveys. And it was 4 or 5 pages of questions about how often do you eat this in your house? How often do you eat that? How often do you play video games? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, just like stuff like how does this affect you emotionally? And I refused to turn it in. And I told them, I said, it's none of your business. And about a month later, my children come home with brand new color-changing water bottles with the stamp of this program on it. And I said, where did you get that? And they said, oh, well, the teachers told us if we filled this form out about what we eat at home, then they would give us a water bottle. And I about lost it and called everybody I could think of to try to get it, and nobody had a copy. So I called the program itself, and they didn't want to give it to me, saying stuff like, well, we don't usually have, you know, parents want to know so I can tell you about what's on the form. I said, no, I want to know. I want a copy of this form that my child was asked to fill out without my permission. Long story short, they bribed my children into answering questions that I told them I would not answer. So that, if nothing else, is an assault on parental sovereignty. I said no, and they said to my 7- and 6-year-old, hey, look at this cool water bottle. All you got to do is circle it.
That is insanity, Stacey. That is insane.
I know.
I want to get into this a little bit more towards the end of the show, but we really, really, it's about time that the parents got really organized in this country. Issues like that, we need, remember the old times before the internet when we had what we called a telephone tree, and Stacey would call her 5 people, and one of those people would be Jennifer, and then Jennifer would call her 5 people, and one of those people would be Dan, and Dan would call his 5 people. We need, when these things like this happen, we need 40 people to show up at the school, 40 parents to show up at the school and say, listen, ain't happening. We are taking back our parental rights. And I believe that's what we're going to have to do with Common Core. We need I hate it because I a lot of times have to mention Mr. Herman Cain. But everything that I know about being an activist, I learned from Herman Cain. You know, you've seen the poster, everything I know about life I learned in kindergarten. Well, everything I know about being an activist, I learned from Herman Cain. And one thing I learned was you have to really organize your people. And we really need, every single school district needs about 40 to 50 people that can be contacted really easily, and they all show up at the principal's office. Because we've got to start, the parents have got to, on the local level, demand our parental rights back. We can do that. We can't do it at the federal level. I mean, we could march 3 million people on Washington, D.C., and we might make a statement, we might get some news, but we're not going to get any effect. But I'm going to tell you, 50 parents all of a sudden showed up at Springville School and said, listen, you're not rifling through my child's lunch and telling them that what I created for them is not healthy. No, you are not. No, you are not going to bribe my child with a water bottle to try and find out what's going on inside my home. No, you're not doing it. No, you're not going to let a teacher get away with child abuse and making them lick a desk, because we're going to be there. We need parents on a heartbeat's notice, a bunch of parents in every single school that is willing to go and sit in the classroom and say, oh, we've got a teacher that's been teaching such and such. That's fine. We're the parents. We'll just go down there. And that's the way we're going to win this battle. Jennifer Montrose, are you back? We'll pass it to you. Boy, we don't have Jennifer, and I'm going to
be here.
Oh, there
I'm
you
here.
Are. Okay.
I got pulled into the nurse's office recently because they want my son to go and get tested for scoliosis. And I want to know what that has to do with his learning and education.
That's right.
I think that they've just overstepped their boundaries. And the thing is we've got people that have their heads in the sand, and we even have parents that have their heads in the sand. And the reason for that is because they're busy working 2 jobs, trying to make ends meet. The economy sucks, and then you have problems with schools that are in low-income, areas of their communities. Teachers are just, devastated and frustrated. with the things that they're having to go through. Now, we're dealing with some stuff here. We're bringing in, we have to get Lisa Harris on the show sometime. She is just a phenomenal lady, and she's really fighting hard for, you know, repeal of Common Core. We've got to stop it here. And she's coming to our West Alabama Republican Assembly luncheon next in June. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to be able to educate, because there's people that want to fight for this, but they want to make sure that they're speaking the right language and they're sharing the right dialogue, so that when they get in these crowds and the media comes at them and starts asking them questions, that they can speak correctly and not be at risk of being put out there in the media as being a clown. You know, that'll happen. I've seen it in more than one occasion. Because they send their hound dogs after you to try to catch you saying something that makes you look like a fool, you know, like you're a radical parent, you know, no different than the comment that was made the other day about, I think it was the president that killed a spider, you know, and now PETA's coming after him, you know, and this world is getting crazier and crazier every day, every hour. And parents, you know, adults, we have got to get our heads out of the sand, and we've got to do this, get actively engaged and be aware. And be, how did these three girls that were supported on the knees tonight, how did that gentleman that lived next door to him that barbecued with these three guys, how did it not go noticed? How did it get lost for years that these girls were held hostage in his house? How have we gotten so far removed from reality that we can't even see that that kind of stuff is going on right under our noses? And it's time that we wake up, or we are going to lose it. Our Constitution that is, you know, our forefathers fought so hard for, you know, and we even have issues right now where it's becoming so, so blatantly obvious that Benghazi is a cover-up. And, you know, that has nothing to do with parental sovereignty, but then again, it does. I mean, if we don't get out there and do the necessary things to get our neighbors involved, some people don't want to know. But I'm telling you, when it starts affecting you personally, when it begins to affect, you know, an individual personally, they'll start paying attention. And we've got to expose this darkness to light, and we've got to get the truth out there. You know, it's just, and I'm to the point now where, you know, I don't care who I piss off, because it's my child's future that I'm concerned about. You know, and if the guy in the business suit that shows up at the ball game after attending a school board meeting, happens to be close personal friends with other people that I know, you know, I believe that I would say whatever I needed to say regardless of how it, you know, I just think it's just, but it's just, it's a necessary thing. When it comes to my child, you know, I would do anything that I needed to protect him. And I cannot allow government to start infiltrating into the minds and the hearts of these children. I remember, you know, as a kid, the thought of going to prom is much different now than what it was then. And the things that kids are being subjected to, and they don't even have the ability. We're still at the age of, you know, eight, still trying to define what we like and what we dislike. To be shoving, you know, gay ideas on an eight-year-old is awful. It's horrible. Scott?
You know, it is. And I did a lot of talking last night with Kim Paris and D-Rock, who we've played his song on here, and we had a great discussion. And, you know, I always go back to this, and again, I'm going to go back to Herman Cain, but the thing that caught my attention about Herman Cain was this. I watched him on, and I can't remember if it was TV or a video that I watched him on, but he made the statement, the federal government cannot micromanage. We just discussed that on a conference call, Jennifer. That statement in itself is a huge foundational issue as to why I'm a Republican, why I'm a conservative, why I believe what I believe. I believe that the larger the bureaucracy, the less effective you are to start off with, and the more waste, the more fraud, and the more abuse. So I as a Republican, as a Frederick Douglass Republican, as a conservative, I believe that when you start letting the federal government get their fingers into things, and a lot of times the state government get into things, they mess these things up. Taxes, gun control, abortion, all of these issues, so on and so forth. But the most precious, precious commodity we have is our children. And when we've got the bureaucracy trying to micromanage how a parent raises their child in the home, where have we come to? I believe that it is very important to raise a child right, and I'm so thankful. You know, I've got a grandmother. I lost her a decade ago, and her and I were so very close. And as I was growing up, I was hyper. I loved my mom dearly. Bless her heart. Lost her 10 years ago too. She was the best. She was one of the most loving people. She was one of the most beautiful examples of a fine Christian woman. I grew up in a household where I never doubted that my mom and dad ever loved each other. Never doubted that for 5 seconds. It was great. But my mom, just when it came to controlling and actually the basics of how to keep a child in control, is she just didn't know how to do that. But my grandmother did very, very well. And my grandmother did something very important all those years as she helped raise me, and I spent months at a time with them. She not only taught me what she wanted me to do and how she wanted me to behave and what character should be in who I grew up to be, she always included this into it. She said, because someday, Scott, you're going to have children, and I want you to know how to properly raise those children so that when they grow up and they go on, they'll remain fine Christian people, they'll remain good people, they won't get into a bad life. And so I'm concerned about you, my grandson, and I raise you a certain way, and I'm hard on you sometimes because I love you, but more important than that, I want you to remember this so that 20, 30 years down the line when you're raising children. Now, she had no idea that I would be the one out of all my cousins that didn't have kids. I was the one that babysat and took care of kids and taught Sunday school and so forth. She didn't know that I would be being a parent to my nieces. But every day in what I do in raising these three girls and in playing the role of the parent, I look back on those things she taught me, and there were some really important aspects of what she taught me. Religious aspects, political, social, political aspects, character aspects. And the federal government wants to replace me in that position with these children? Herman Cain would say that is insanity. That is stupid, people. How's that working out for you, history of the world? It's been tried before. You know, and If you're listening to the show right now online on Continue for Truth Radio, and you're looking at the little box where the little play thing is, it says right below that the stated goal of the left is quoted by MSNBC's Melissa Perry. We've always had a private notion of children. Your kid is yours and totally your responsibility. Yeah, we have. That's real good. That's because that's the way it works, and it works well that way. But she says, we haven't had a very collective notion that these are our children. They're not our children. They are my children. Sorry, Melissa Perry. So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities. And that is the foundation of this show. That is the antithesis of what we're talking about here. Because that side of politics, that's what they believe. Now, the president would never dare stand up and say that. He believes it. He wants it. He would never state that because, oh, boy, would it get him into trouble. But the concept of the federal government micromanaging what Jennifer does in her home with her son, what Stacy does at home with her children, that is insanity because they can't do it. The state can't do it. CPS can't do it. Only the parents can do that. Is it correct all the time? No. I go to Walmart and I go to Target and I see parenting skills of parents and I just want to cringe. I want to facepalm, Stacy. I want to facepalm because sometimes, you know, parents, they don't know how to control their kids and they don't know how to teach them and they get frustrated and it's hard and I understand that. But I'm going to guarantee you the worst of the worst parents cannot be replaced by the government and do any better of a job. The only ones that can do a better job are the parents. And the government should be encouraging parents to learn how to be good parents and to go back to the basics and to understand how to do that. You know, it's such an important issue because I worry about these three nieces 20 years from now because I do the same thing with these girls as my grandmother did. Every time that I discipline them, I sit them down and I hug them and I love them. And I say, because I want you to understand why I'm doing this, because someday you're going to provide me with great nephews and great nieces. And that's at the point where they say, well, you're going to raise them, Uncle. And I say, no, I'm going to be too old. You're going to have to do that. But I am so fearful that they're going to be living in a world where they don't have the ability to do that. I'm so worried that they're going to be in a world where the government's taken away their right to properly raise a child. And boy, it won't take too many generations for us to be in a real bad situation. And that's why this is important, America. This is Contending for Truth Radio. This is Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. And America, we got to wake up. We got to wake up because there are some horrendous things going on. You see, one of the reasons why the federal government can't micromanage, one of the reasons why CPS can't micromanage, one of the reasons why the schools can't micromanage raising children are the issues that we're talking about tonight. Because when you end up doing that, you end up with kids licking desks. Well, you know, I got a long email I'm working on for a certain teacher and superintendent that thinks it's okay that a child licks a desk. Because I guarantee you if that same child had walked into the school and told the teacher that his mom had made him lick the floor, they'd have called CPS, wouldn't they? Dan, I'll pass it to you.
Yes, I agree with you, Scott. There's definitely a double standard. And we have to find out how this problem even exists in the first place. And to be honest, it started with the unholy trinity, which is what I call it. That is the politicians, the unions, and the media all got together to make Common Core possible. When Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, got into office, he was against Common Core. He wanted to hold teachers to a higher standard. This was actually a lot of Republicans were getting on this idea. To hold teachers to a higher standard to make sure they were qualified for their job. And the media went off on them for it. They said they were attacking teachers. The unions got out there picketing with their signs on the streets, demonizing these politicians for it because they knew what Common Core was before it was even an issue. They knew what would happen if we didn't hold teachers to a higher standard. But the unions wouldn't have it. They want to make it very hard to fire a teacher, to end their tenure when they do stuff like this, what happened in New York, where they force students to lick desks. So the same media that reports these incidents is the same media that allowed Common Core to even exist. And I agree with you, Scott. I don't want to see an America where my kid is not taught about the values of the Constitution because it doesn't exist anymore, because a couple liberals decided to get rid of it. I don't want to live in America where they hold a double standard about what your kids eat, where they question what you pack in their lunch, yet they serve people prison food. They serve the same food they serve in prison in school cafeterias. This is a well-known fact now. And it's ridiculous. And I think not only should we go up to the principal, should we confront the superintendents about this, we should also start homeschooling. If our kids are not safe at school from their own teachers, then why even go to public schools? They already have a risk of bullying, which the teachers ignore and don't handle well. And that can kill your kid, because there have been several incidences of suicide because of bullying. But no, that's not a big issue. The issue they focus on is, oh my God, is he wearing an NRA t-shirt with one of those scary-looking black rifles on it? Education isn't even the biggest issue. It's whether or not what our kids wear goes against their common core ideals, against the Second Amendment. And more I see this, the more and more it looks like Nazi Germany of the old days. This is exactly the same thing that they did. They indoctrinated people. They had the media on their side. They had the corrupt politicians on their side. They had gangsters on their side, much like the unions do, to intimidate and harass anyone who goes against what they want to do, what they want to impose on us. This is why we're seeing these incidences of abuse. This is why we're seeing kids ripped away from their parents' arms, all because of this. Child Protective Services should definitely check out that one teacher who was making their kids lick a desk. That is unacceptable. And they even teach about pathogens in school. And I think that the kids should be taught by their parents, if they're going to a public school and not homeschooling like I would recommend, that they tell their teacher, no, I'm not licking that desk. You're not making me do that. That's against the rules. And if you want to send me to the principal's office, then so be it, because I'm not licking that desk. If you want me to clean it off, I'll clean it off, but I'm not licking a desk. If I carve something in there, give me detention. But there's no way I am licking a desk for you. That we need to rise up, and we need to rise up right now.
We really do. And we're going to get to rising up. We're going to talk about that a little bit towards the end of this show, because I think it's important. It's time. There's a lot of issues that are so important to me. Political issues and different things, none of them compare to this. Jennifer Montrose. We're having a hard time keeping Jennifer. I know she stays busy with Seth and stays on mute occasionally. We'll pass it to Stacey first.
Hey, I'm actually going to challenge Dan to either A, marry me and I'll stay at home and homeschool my children, or B, consider this, because this is probably a more reasonable option. If all of us who have our children in public school leave, isn't that the equivalent of all the patriots in America who are here fighting what seems like a hopeless battle, leaving for Canada? Like, if we're not there seeing what's happening, who's going to be there to call them out and to fight it? So while it would be awesome if my kids weren't exposed to this, it's terrible for the kids who have no other option to not have someone speaking out for them. Because my guess is that the majority of parents don't realize that that kind of stuff is going on in their school. Because here's how I see it happening in my home. My kid comes home and says, I got in trouble today for writing on my desk. And the mom looks at him and goes, well, what were you doing writing on your desk? And then assumes that the teacher disciplined them. And in my school, I don't know any teachers that would have them lick it, but if they did, I'd be in jail. That to say that we trust the teachers to discipline our children, and our first assumption is not ever that the teacher did wrong, but that our child, who is always pushing limits and trying to figure themselves out, pushed the limit and the teacher disciplined them correctly. So I think it all goes back to making sure you know exactly what's happening in the school, and going back to what Scott said, getting people on like a phone tree saying, this is what happened in school today, and everybody being at the school is the only way to keep them in check. I really don't think that there's a better idea out there than just that. Scott?
Exactly. Exactly. I tell you, and I was going to ditto this, and I forgot to when I passed it between Dan and Stacy. You know, homeschooling is, I think we're going to have to really, 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 really start finding ways where parents can more easily homeschool. We've got the internet now, so the tools are out there. But we really, really need to focus where even a parent that works has the ability to accomplish the homeschooling, because there's some places where even if we beat Common Core back tomorrow, if we entirely beat it back, that just takes away the institutionalizing of these things. These are Common Core has been in our schools for 30, 40 years. It's been taught by teachers and by specific schools that are allowed to get away with it. The Common Core institutionalizes it, organizes it. And there are some places where parents don't have a choice. But if we started pulling our kids out right and left and the school started losing all that money, that would be huge. That's one of the reasons why the left fights vouchers so much, because they know that when parents are given choice, they're going to pull their school out and put them out someplace else. So I'm going to pass it on to Jennifer. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You know, one of the things you got to remember is our children at a young age are easily impressionable, and what you teach them, it's always been told to me, and I find this to be so true, that what you educate a child and the way you raise them from birth until age five will always remain with them. It'll stick with them. And they tend to always will go back home to those core values. So I think it's so important that we as parents have got to do the things that we can to take a stand. I had my parents to pass away, and I didn't have anybody to help me with my child when I was growing up, when my son was growing up. And so it was just, you know, I couldn't do a lot. If I couldn't take my son with me places, it just didn't happen. You know, I agree with you that we need to find ways to get our head out of the sand and be there. You know, I know that so many times we don't even know who our neighbors are. You know, and you could have a neighbor down the street with a child who's struggling. And that's one of the things that we do here in my little neighborhood and community, you know, is if somebody needs to go to the store, there's another parent that will help watch the kids. And just that, you know, and I know that in some neighborhoods it's not safe, and you have to be careful about, you know, different situations and stuff. You know, but we've got to step up. We got to take responsibility. And it's not the government's responsibility to take care of our kids. If you can fish for a child all day long, and at the end of the day, they'll never be able to feed themselves, because once you're no longer there to do that for them, they don't know what to do. And one of the things I think is also helpful to remember is homeschooling is great, but then there's college,
And there's all that testing that goes between, you know, the graduate, high school graduate age to the college age. And, you know, this goes way beyond. I mean, there is definitely an agenda on the left to totally seize and take control of the minds of our kids. And if we can get them to that place where values don't matter anymore, then they can control and do whatever they want to. And, you know, I can't bear to see that. I know our forefathers are rolling in their graves right now, you know, but we've got to start brush fires. They've got to be these brush fires that the wind will blow. And like Scott said, when there's an issue going on in school, we need to be there. There needs to be so many more of us at the PTO meetings, and we need to stand up and say, no more. You know, this is my child that you're messing with. You know, and kids just don't understand when they're giving out information what's really going on behind the scenes. That's why it takes us to participate, get actively involved, get your, you know, friends together and go meet somewhere at a diner and talk about the issues. You know, that's one of the things we get. I just got here in my town, and I talked with another lady who used to be a school teacher, and she says, I'll definitely come. There's a lot that I need to vent about. You know, people need to know.
You know, exactly. So, we've got breaking news. It was up breaking news. It's not really brand new news, but it's news to us. And one of my favorite patriots and a close friend. I've got a lot of friends across the country that are political activists that we do stuff on a daily, a weekly, a monthly basis. Some of them, you know, Jennifer's one of them that, you know, for 2 years, Jennifer, there's been very few days over the last 2 years that you and I have not had some kind of communication on some kind of project. And one of those patriots is Melissa Bohannon in Kentucky. I'm sorry, Tennessee. Oh, I don't dare say Kentucky. In Tennessee, and she was Zach Poskovich's campaign manager, and she was very heavily involved in not only the grassroots of Herman Cain, but in the campaign itself there in Tennessee. And she just passed me a link, and you guys are going to love this. It's called IndoctrinationMovie.com. That's IndoctrinationMovie.com. movie.com. And I want you guys, everybody that's listening, if you're listening right now live, if you're listening in the archive, to go check this out. Listen to this. What people are saying about indoctrination: every Christian parent with a child in government school should see this movie and be forced to confront their willingness to do what the scripture requires for the children on loan to them by God. Isn't that the truth? A mass exodus from government schools is the only way to preserve the souls and minds of our children. That comes from Cal Thomas. I hope everybody knows who Cal Thomas is. He's a pretty sharp man. He's actually one of the most widely circulated, syndicated op-ed columnists there is, and has been doing great work for years. This is the most important issue facing the body of Christ, and an issue that must be addressed and put to rest forever. Indoctrination is an extremely important movie. Every church in America should show it, and every Christian should show Indoctrination to their friends. And it's about the public schools and the decline of Christianity in America and the fact that they are using the schools. I'm going to give that website out again one more time, IndoctrinationMovie.com. And I will be looking into this and be doing some Facebook posting with this. This is absolutely looks great. The website itself looks great to start off with, which is always a good sign. You know, you never get a second chance to make a good impression or to make a first impression. So we're gonna look into that further and push it so everybody wants to pay attention to that. And Jennifer, you made a really, really good point. We have to take action, folks. We have to take action. This is not something that we can delay on anymore. It's something that we have to make very important. And like I said a while ago, we've got to be willing to get out of the house and go do something. You know, I posted a lot of articles today to Facebook, and a lot of people saw them. I've got, you know, about 800, 900 friends on Facebook, and probably a tenth of those actually saw what I posted today. I posted some stuff in message and made sure that directly people saw certain things. And I can do that all day, and I have a fun time doing that, and I do what I call drive-by posting. I'm often very, very busy dealing with a four-year-old, and I do this and that, and I sat and watched some Andy Griffith with her today, and then I get up and post a little bit and do that. And that's all great, and that's fun. But it does us no good to do that all day long. We got to get out of the house, and we got to walk ourselves down to the school. We got to stand in front of the principal. We got to stand in front of the superintendent. We got to stand in front of the teacher and say, "Listen, that is my child." With Common Core, we are dealing with a pack of lies. Now, I am so glad to find out. I've given Rick Scott in Florida. I've given him some support. Team Rick Scott, you know, they know who I am. And they know who Melissa Bohannon is, and they know who Jennifer Montrose is. We've helped them in the past under different campaign circumstances. Rick Scott fighting it is not going to help. It helps legislatively to a certain point, but what it's going to take is it's going to take the parents in Florida, it's going to take the parents in Alabama, it's going to take the parents in California, walking out and saying, "This is a lie." You know, one of the first things, if you approach somebody that's pro-Common Core, one of the first things that they're going to say is they are going to say that this is not top-down. The states were involved in creating this curriculum. Well, since most of the curriculum hasn't really even been created yet, there's a lie. The big lie in it is how they involved the states. And actually, this is a system that they want to put into the students as well. And here's the system. What I do is I decide that I want to have an idea, and so I gather a bunch of people, and I tell them what questions that they can ask, and then I get them together and have them all ask their questions, and then they all put them together, and I pick one of those questions. That's just a way of doing things that they think is brilliant. I think it's stupid. So here's what happened. Common Core, the curriculum that they've got so far, was put together, and they had a bunch of people from each state involved somewhere along the line in education. They all put them around in a big room, and they said, "Here's what we've got. Give us your opinion on it." And we really don't want everybody's opinion on it. You need to go sit in your little group of four or five people, six people, 20 people, and come up with your opinions on it, and then put them all together and give us that one opinion. There has not been state involvement in this. And what we need to do is we need to stand up, and when those people that are protecting Common Core say that, we need to call them out for what they are, lying. Another big thing is we know that from the top down in Common Core, there has been a very concerted effort to leave the parents out of this. We got a superintendent here in Springville that's about ready to be asked, "Why have you lied to the parents of Springville and not informed them of what you knew was coming?" You see, you know that there's a bunch of money coming down the line that we're going to have to pay for as a community because California didn't win the big prize that they were supposed to get for this. There's data mining involved in this. Why haven't you informed the parents of that? If Common Core is so great, then you should have no problem. You know, I saw a World Book Encyclopedia in the 90s. I had no problem teaching the product knowledge about it because it's a great product. Why won't you talk to your parents about this product called Common Core? What are you afraid of? Why are you lying to the parents of Springville? Because you're lying to them. You're telling them half truth. You're lying to them. And we got to start calling these people out. And when they stand up and they say this about it and that about it, and when they try and say it's not gonna teach worldview, don't give me that crap. I can give you illustration after illustration after illustration after illustration where it's trying to teach worldview. There's a bunch of lies involved in it. You know, you got a school district where a child has been forced to lick a desk, and there are lies involved. The superintendent doesn't want the parents to know about it. The superintendent doesn't want the parents to know what they did to reprimand the teacher. So superintendent says that's private information. Bull crap, that's not private information. Those are our kids you're talking about. There is no privacy on your end. The privacy goes on the parents' end. What they do in the home, that's private. What you do in the school, that's public. It's called public education. It's called public school. You're a public school superintendent. You're a part of the public. Yeah, one of these days, Connie's going to be listening. My niece is grinning at me. And she knows what kind of a tangle it'll be. Because these guys are lying. They're flat out lying. And we got to call them out for that. We got to do it in droves. We got to get parents all over this country excited. We got to get them down to the schools. They can't just call. You know, it's great. You know, Dan calls, and I make phone calls. I made a couple of phone calls today. I sent out some emails personally to these people. I was pretty tough in the language I used, but that doesn't do a whole lot of good. It has to be the parents. It has to be parents in mass coming to that school and saying, don't be trying to lie to America. Don't be trying to say this was no big deal. This was child abuse. And when we get to that point, we'll take our kids back. If we don't, I really fear for our nation. Because it won't take long, folks. It won't take long. We got to get on this, and we got to go. And I've been saying for a long time, we got to organize from the ground up. We need a Team Kane, Jennifer, in every single school district. A Team Kane of parents. That the moment something like this happens, parents all over the country show up at the schools. And they're talking about this. They're talking about Jared Markham being arrested, given a police record at 14 over a T-shirt because the school is too weak to handle problems in-house. We got to know every time it happens. Either that or we're lost. You know, we probably shouldn't have really gone down the road of public education the way we did in the first place. It was rather controversial when it was started. We didn't put the checks and balances into it. We should have. Public education for a long time did a great service for this country, but that was in the one-room schoolhouse. One-room schoolhouse worked really, really well, actually, because you let the older kids help teach the younger kids, and you get the older kids get more out of that than the younger kids do. Worked really, really well. First through eighth grade, in the 90s, I taught a couple of years at a very small private Christian school. I taught junior high, and I had seventh and eighth graders all in one class. The next class down was third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. There was one class of all the high school students. And you know what? It was amazing. We took those kids 2 years worth of public school curriculum every single year at a fourth of the price. It's insane. It's indoctrination. It's parental sovereignty. Dan, I'm going to pass it back to you in Florida.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, first I would like to reply to Stacy. Now, with homeschooling, we're not running. What we are is costing the teachers' unions the money that they crave. We're also keeping our kids out of harm's way, but I understand. Not everybody can homeschool. It's not for everybody. I want to homeschool personally, but I can understand with people's jobs, they cannot always do that. But one thing kids should do is have their parents talk to them about what they learned today. Have their parents look at what they're being handed out at schools. You know, spend like whatever free time, 30 minutes, talking about what you learned today. And also maybe do a little bit of both homeschooling and what they teach in public education. They're both very important because half of what you learn is from the parents. The other half is what you learn from the school. And, of course, yourself and what you learn on the Internet, everything like that. As far as getting rid of Common Core, what we really have to do, it's not just even go down there anymore. Because the cowards are hiding behind so-called privacy laws, even though everybody knows this is happening, it's not private because it's all over the news. We need to print out these articles all the parents need to print out these articles and tape them to there. Put it on the desk of the principal and say, is it still private? Bring cameras. See what the reaction is of the principals still trying to hide behind privacy laws. Take it. Give it to the media. If the media doesn't want to cooperate, if the media doesn't want to accept it, if the media doesn't want to protect their children, then take it to YouTube. People will know. People know about the problem if it's on YouTube for the world to see. People will see the face of Common Core, and they will know why it's wrong. And then more and more parents will come and confront the teachers' unions. This will cost them money. This is how we defeat Common Core. This is how. And we can definitely do this.
We can do it. And, you know, that's, as I pass this to Jennifer Montrose, you know, I've known a lot of people over the last couple of years, like I say, and I know one thing about Jennifer Montrose, and that's that you ditto what he just said, that we can do it. Because you're a positive individual. I'm going to pass it on to you, Jen.
I just, we have a lot that's going on in this world, in this nation, and we need to wake up. We need to wake up. And I would like to hear from other parents that are experiencing these same situations with their children in school, and I would like to hear what other people are doing around the nation to make a difference, to repeal a Common Core, and to protect our parental sovereignty with our kids. I would love to hear what other people are doing. There is a Facebook page that has been set up, that we have people that come in and can post and comment. And Scott can tell you all about that. And it would be just a wonderful thing if others that are listening have any comments to make and have any feedback to give where they are actually making some headway. Because I know there are a lot of people that are busy and some that are just frustrated and don't know who to talk to. And don't know where to go with the information that they've got. And we as activists can help to do the necessary things to get the message out for them. You know, I know that there are people out there that are in sticky situations where they just really are concerned because it's their livelihood. They're afraid to lose their job to speak out against this stuff. And you know, we've got to help one another out, you know. So with that, I turn it back over to Scott.
Most definitely, definitely. And Jennifer Montrose is one of the busiest mothers I know. And I have watched her balance child raising and political discussion between me and conference calls. She is a hands-on mom. 100%, and like we said last week, hands-on dad at the same time. And I know she's got to get to dealing with the end of the evening things that you deal with when you've got kids. And so thank you, Jennifer. I want to say that before we pass it on to Stacey. Thank you tonight. Great job on everybody's part. And you go do what you have to do, and we'll go ahead and close out the show, me, Dan, and Stacey. And with that, I will pass it on to Stacey.
Responding to Dan, I think that I think it's a genius point that you made in your rebuttal, that you're not running, but that you're challenging. And then that's, if you approach it from that angle, then I'm 100% wrong. I just, you know, my heart is in a place where I am the person who has no other choice, and that's how I view it, because I see other struggling mothers in my school who are complaining at the ballpark about how much homework they have when they get home because of Common Core. We have gotten to where at home we do an insane amount of what I call self-imposed homework, which is basically, like you said, half public school, half homeschool. The stuff that my kids aren't learning at school I'm having to teach them because I think it's important. And most of that is history. But then it's also stuff like my daughter's dying to learn how to write in cursive and, you know, just small stuff like that. And they don't teach really the importance of good handwriting anymore. And that's something that I like to stress at home is how important it is to be able to write correctly and correct grammar. Anyhow, so beautiful point, but I think that Scott's idea about making homeschool flexible, wow, wouldn't that be amazing? I could go to work, do what I do, and then come home and homeschool my kids, and that is completely something I'd be willing to do because they'd be removed from that indoctrination. I wouldn't have to be worried about what they're learning, where they are, what they're doing, what I'm not being told. I would know that what they're getting is in line with my ideals because I would be giving it to them, and it wouldn't be, I mean, it would be hard, but it would be so worth it at the end, and we wouldn't be fighting this fight, and bonus, we would be helping bankrupt the school unions, and that's like a win-win-win to me. Got
exactly. And you know, I want us to take, as we get ready to close out the show, I want us to take and go to my last thing that I want to talk about. And I couldn't even begin to pronounce their name, Romikis, maybe Stacy, you know how to pronounce it. The German family that is here in the United States, they fled Germany because Germany doesn't want them to be able to homeschool. And there's a video, and we'll put the link out. I wish it was easier to tell you what a YouTube link is on. Maybe we need to make a bitty URL for it. But it's the Romicki family, the parents, explaining the situation in Germany and why they fled. And they came over here to this great free country so that they had the freedom and the right to homeschool. And our stupid idiot of a president will not stand behind them and is standing against them. And I would encourage everybody to look up the video and to watch it. But at the same time, it is very, very important that we understand what's behind that. You know, I often use, when we talk about the scripture, I'm going to use this as an illustration. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer for your faith. And that's a great scripture, but there's something underlying it that is very important. And that's that, Peter, when he said that, he's expecting people to ask you about your faith in the first place. You've got to have something that makes people ask that. There's always things behind something. In this homeschool situation that we're dealing with right now, and these people that are wanting to stay here in this great country, and they want to be free to homeschool their children, by our current administration fighting it, there's something behind there. And I've been saying this ever since I found out about Common Core. Behind the big wall of Common Core is homeschool. And I guarantee you the same people that want Common Core want homeschool to be illegal. They do not want parents to have the right to homeschool their children. And I get really frustrated sometimes in some of these Common Core groups that I'm in. They get into an argument over whether parents should have the right to homeschool, and that's so ridiculous. But our right to homeschool our children is threatened even larger than Common Core. It's hiding behind Common Core. It's sitting back there as a concept. And I guarantee you it's sitting there. And once they get Common Core fully instilled, and that's what we'll be fighting next. You know, Melissa Bahannon, she homeschools her kids, and I'm going to tell you, she works hard doing it, and she's got the parental sovereignty rights to do that. It's important to me. I'm homeschooling my little niece. I tell you, public schools, any of you public school teachers that are listening or any of these people that I emailed out today and said, you might want to listen to the show because we're going to talk about you today and it's not going to be very pretty. I'm going to tell you something. I taught a 3-year-old how to read, write, and spell. And guess what I used? A dry erase marker and the front of the refrigerator. A few ABC YouTube videos, a couple of games, you know, to give a little bit of variety. But the bulk cost me 50 cents of a marker in the front of the refrigerator. Now, we've got schools are putting out kids every year that have been through 60,000 hours that cannot read. I've taught how to read. I taught my niece that's trying to shush the dog. She's 11 years old. I taught her how to read. I taught my middle niece how to read. I just taught the four, she's four now, but she was reading before she turned four, with a dry erase marker in the front of the refrigerator. So again, what's behind that? What's behind that concept? Behind that is, why can't you do the same thing, schools? Why are you failing on the basic of teaching how to read when you've got these children 60,000 hours plus? America, what is wrong with our schools when we've got kids graduating the 12th grade, slipping through the cracks that don't know how to read? It doesn't take that long. But you want to take your time away from teaching them how to read, to teach them what they should believe about the Second Amendment or the Constitution or some of these other things? That would be insanity. We have got a major problem, folks. And it's called the war on parental sovereignty. And I guarantee you, the Common Core people, you guys that are fighting Common Core, you better get with it, kids. Because homeschooling is connected right to it. And if you don't think it is, you are a fool. You are a fool if you do not believe it's connected. Obamacare and Common Core are connected at the hip. And if you don't understand that, you are not looking out of the box big enough. You are not looking out of the box big enough. It's indoctrination. It's parental sovereignty. And I would just encourage, we sometimes have a huge amount of listeners. I would just encourage every single listener, you better get active, whether you're a parent or not, because this is the future of our nation. And I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you, because I know well, I know two boys in Tennessee who are getting a whole lot better education by a mom that works really, really hard, not only at teaching her kids, but works hard like me and Jennifer and Dan and Stacy and Jennifer and everybody else at the same time and slaps and balances a family on top. And they're getting a whole lot better education than I'd say a whole bunch of people in the public school systems in Tennessee. And that's because she's got the freedom to homeschool. And they're good kids with good character. Boy, America, you better wake up. Because if the administration does not want these parents to stay here in the United States for the sole purpose of being able to teach their own children what they believe, then our homeschool, right behind Common Core, boy, the war is on, and it's there. They're hiding it. They're not talking about it. I think they'd really wish that the Ramikis are – I wish I knew how to pronounce their name. I'll have to learn that tomorrow. I wish. Because I care. You know, I want someday my beautiful niece she's standing here watching me. She's waiting to jump on the trampoline. She jumps while you guys are talking and I'm on mute. She jumps, and then when I start talking, she stops. And boy, she's precious to me. And her kids are going to be precious to me. And her grandkids, I hope to see maybe, are going to be precious to me. Oh, I'll be old, won't I? This is a fight for her. She knows that. She knows every day that everything that I do politically is all about her future, and that's where we're at. Those are basically my closing remarks. I'm going to pass it to Dan to add on that and his closing remarks, and then on to Stacy, and then we'll be just about at the top of the hour, and we will close out the show. Dan.
Yes, Scott. Yes, I agree. Common Core, they do want to get rid of homeschooling because they have absolutely no control over there. That's what Common Core is about, is control. Control over the education system, so they make sure that they teach the kids what the government wants to think. They only teach kids half of what they should be learning. And like Stacy said, they're just throwing homework and more homework on top of homework at kids and expecting them to learn something, and that's not effective. Overworking and overwhelming the kids with homework is not effective. I think the lesson is more important, to make the lesson interesting and to cover everything, not just half of it. When I'm learning about history, I want to know more about more than just the balance of power, the legislative, the judicial, the executive branch. I want to know about this executive order because it's important and it affects the kids in their adult life. I'm very disappointed that I wasn't able to learn about that from school because they didn't teach it, because it was too controversial, and they know that kids would start questioning the government. They wanted us to think that executive order didn't exist and that there's a balance of power and everything's okay. Well, it's not. It's not okay. It's not okay when the teachers are allowed to tell students what to wear when it's not even violating the dress code because it goes against their anti-Second Amendment message. It's not okay to teach kids to abuse their kids by abusing the kids, by making them lick filthy, disgusting desks. It's absolutely not okay. And what we need to do, we need to start gathering up petitions against Common Core. We need to get the word out. I hope everyone who's listening, we start getting petitions together. We start signing them opposing Common Core. Otherwise, more of this will happen. It won't go away unless we do something about it. I hope more people homeschool if they can. Because that is half of your education is what you learn at home. That's where you learn your values. That's where you learn your morals. That's where you learn your survival skills. That's where you learn how to talk to people. And that is a very important, important thing to learn, especially when going in the workforce. You can be book smart if you want, but if kids don't know how to socialize, if they don't know how to handle the real world, then they won't be successful in jobs. And this is what we need to do. We need to get rid of Common Core. We need to get rid of this government indoctrination and go back to what the school is meant to do, which is to educate kids, not to work them hard, not to tell them what to wear, but to educate them. That's what this is all about. That's why we send our kids to school. We don't send our kids to school so the teachers can be their parent, no. We send our kids to school so the teachers can be their educator, and that's what their job needs to be. And if they can't do that, then they're not qualified, and they should not have a job. So get rid of the tenure and hold our teachers to a higher standard and get the message out.
That's right. Pass it on to Stacy.
I'm going to say something really controversial off of what you said, Scott, about we have the right to homeschool our children if we want. It is our right. It is my right to keep my child at home and not have to write a letter to the school and explain to them where they've been the previous day. It is none of their business if they never go to school and I keep them here and homeschool them. And I feel like I have the right to not educate my child at all. I mean, if it's my child and I'm making their decisions, who are you to tell me anything? And I don't know if y'all remember, back in February, our glorious Secretary of State John Kerry said that in America, we're free. And in America, you have a right to be stupid. Do you or don't you? I mean, if the left thinks it's stupid to homeschool, they can't turn around and say, but you have the freedom to be stupid, but you don't, but you do. I mean, make up your mind. Because the fact is, Common Core is making our kids stupid. It's no longer you have the right to be stupid. It's now we're going to make your kids stupid, and you don't have the right to choose any other option. And it's getting really frustrating because I'm tired at the end of the day, and I kind of just want to hang out with my kids. I don't want to teach them about holidays they're not learning about in school anymore. I don't want to teach them the easy way to do math. That's why they go to school for 8 hours. And if I could homeschool, I would homeschool. But if I'm a mom who has the ability to homeschool, but just I don't want to stay at home all day with my kids because that's just not something I've ever wanted to do, I should be confident that if I send my kids to school, they're going to get the same quality education, not the same Christian principles, but the same quality education that they would get at my kitchen table. Scott?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Stacey, 100%. And that's what makes this so important, because not everybody can homeschool. I wish we could. I wish we were back 40, 50 years ago where we were one wonderful single family income and mom could stay home and do that all the time. That's not always an option, and we do. For parents like Stacy, we need to be able to have confidence in the public school education that we've got. And there's a lot of pros and a lot of cons to public school education. But I had a great time in school. I really did. And there's a lot that can be said for public school, and that's why we have to fight this. Because we've got to have the right for Melissa Bohannon to homeschool her kids. We got to have the right for Stacey Tomash to turn around and put them in public school and be confident that they're just going to teach them the important things, which is insanity to me because I don't understand when they're having a hard enough time teaching the important things, why they find time to teach some of this nonsense that they want to teach. And great show, guys. Dan, you did great. Yeah, you know, this is the second time you've been on the show, but the first time you've been on the show as a co-host, and we're looking forward to many years ahead of hosting with you. You're a natural, my friend. You're clear, plain, got a great voice, and I'm honored to have you here. I'm honored to have you here because I know you're a hardworking activist. And that's important. That's what this is all about. Because, you know, it's one thing for us all to broadcast a story on the internet. It's another thing to do what we do behind the scenes. You know, last night on the show on politics and religion, I had D Rock on, and we've used his song "Keep On Keeping On," and he's also a friend and a patriot. I'm so proud of him. Things he does, and Kim Paris, we had a great discussion last night about basics. And we're going to close out the show tonight with a new song that he introduced me to last night. This is God's Country, and it's a great song. I really don't like the way Blog Talk plays music. It always sounds like it's coming through kind of garbled, but we're going to play that song as we go out, and I want to give him a shout-out and a thank you for his help behind the scenes with what he does, and we're gonna close out with that song, and I want everybody to enjoy that because it's I think gonna be our new theme song for the politics and religion show on Monday nights, and we'll close out with that. Before we do that, I want to encourage everybody to tune in on Thursday night. Free Don Miller, free Don Miller, free Don Miller. If you think the insanity that you talked about tonight is nuts. Boy, we're talking about the insanity in our school system. We're talking about the insanity in politics. In Hurley, Wisconsin, the insanity is in the judicial system. We got a judge, Patrick J. Madden, who needs to be in jail.
because you see, 15 years ago, he took a man that was innocent and put him in prison. And it's blatant, folks. It's not one of those situations. You know, sometimes a guy's on death row and you've got two different groups. You got the group that says he's innocent, you got the group that says he's guilty, and you look at those situations, and what you do is you have to decide with the facts what's right and what's wrong. That's not the Don Miller story. It's all very, very lopsided. It is very blatant that he's innocent. It is very blatant that he was framed. It's very blatant that there's been a cover-up for 15 years to try and keep this out. Because you've got a judge that, well, to make it very plain and clear, likes prostitution. And it's really a sad situation. You know, I got my niece standing here looking at me and smiling at me. I'm so proud of her. This is what we do it about. I do this. I do everything I do for her. And I want Sidenna to say a couple of words. You want to say a couple of words? Oh, my goodness. She's looking at me with his big, wide eyes. What do you want to say on the radio, Sidenna?
I'm just shocked because, like, it's so blatant that he's in jail for, like, 15 years. And it's, like, there's, like, a lie in everything. And it's just so stupid. It's horrible.
That's my girl. That's my girl. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what this is all about. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on Contending for Truth Radio Network, for Parental Sovereignty Radio tonight. And our parental sovereignty is under attack. It's so important, so important. And if you've got any questions, if you've got any questions for any of us, you can email us at c4tradio@yahoo.com. That's c4tradio@yahoo.com. Join us at our Facebook page of the exact same name. And let me tell you, folks, this is what it's all about. Thank you much for joining us, and we started out with Let Freedom Ring. We are going to close out with D-Rock, and This Is God's Country.
I pray on my knees every night. A leader starts seeing the light. 'Cause the road that we're on ain't where we belong. We've gotten so far away from the truth. God has been and always will be the foundation of life's liberties. For Christians like me, it's high time we spread the news. We can't sit around anymore. Come on and stand up. Stand up and fight for what you believe in. This is God's country. God ain't leaving. He's the way and the truth and the life.